231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context switching that can distract employees and costs your company. Luckily, Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to crank out clear, on-brand emails, documents, messages, and more. In just one click, they can go from blank page to first draft, all without leaving the page they're on. Grammarly has 15 years of experience building effective, secure AI that can be implemented in days with minimal IT overhead. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences, whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise-ready AI.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Monday evening edition of Yard. It's been a busy day. I think we got 16 stories over at jeanspage.com today, and about half of them are free. And by the time many of you listen to this, our Black Friday Cyber Monday sale will already be open. Let's see, about 11 o'clock tonight, on Monday night. We're going to run this thing for about a week. 75% off the annual subscription price. So there we go. If you're a monthly subscriber, you can upgrade and take advantage of that. If you're a new subscriber, you can get that too. So 75% off an annual subscription to Jeans Page. Come be a part of that. The Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. And we had a dozen visitors over the weekend. We've already got 11 stories up recapping the visits. And by the time you hear this, hopefully we'll have number 12. We had a scheduled interview with the final one. But you can read everything that you need to know about the visit weekends. And we may have some breaking news during the recording of the show. I've already written the commitment story of a player that I've been expecting to commit for a few days now. He's already got the graphic. We're just waiting for him to announce. That could again happen. If it does happen, we'll give you live coverage right here. Okay? Well, I say live coverage. Recorded coverage. Before we get into recapping the football game and kind of looking ahead and talking about the visit weekend and all that kind of stuff, but I want to remind you guys, too, that the soccer tournament is now over for Mississippi State. And I'll tell you guys, I had such a blast covering this team. I think we're just going to make it a regular part of our coverage moving forward. When you've done it all and seen it all, when you get something new that kind of gives you some excitement and some newfound joy, you kind of want to hang on to that. I love the soccer program. And it's not just because they win so much. There is an esprit de corps within that program that I wish existed in every program on the Mississippi State campus. And there, listen, that's not to say we don't have good culture in some programs. We really do. But I think our soccer program kind of sets the standard when it comes to, sisterhood and just kind of playing for each other. And so I was sad to see it end. But however, we lost to a better team. The better team won. Notre Dame essentially dominated that game. And coaching staff, Notre Dame, told me that they knew going into the game they were going to have to bring their best effort. And I believe they did. A very young and talented team, and their length really bothered us. Even though we're very quick, we're very good defensively, we play well as a team, their athleticism and length, I think, made the difference in the game. And so we wish them the best. We're going to lose a very talented group of seniors, but I think we've reached a point now that we're not going to have these peaks and valleys within this program. James Armstrong routinely taking this team to the NCAA tournament now. And I believe our better days are ahead. So sorry to see it end, but really glad that it happened. It was an emotional press conference last night with Macy Hodge and Maddie Anderson, and think a lot of them Macy Hodge, my favorite player, and not just because she has interesting hair and tattoos. I just like her effort on the pitch. I think, you know, she's a player that maybe didn't get the recruiting attention that she deserved. And she has kind of worn that like a chip on her shoulder and kind of played with that motivation and made everybody else in the SEC play. She was your SEC midfielder of the year. So I'm sad to see her go. Hopefully she'll hang around at Starkville for a while. You never know. Maybe she'll come back and be, GA here at some point. Who knows? Mississippi State men's basketball, now nationally ranked at number 25 in the AP poll. Really good win for us, too. Really, really, really good win for us. We talked about it. You know, we knew there was going to be a nip and tuck game with SMU. We were favored by a point on the road against a 4-1 SMU team. And we went over there and took care of things. It was very similar to the ball game that we played, you know, just last week in South Haven against Utah, where it looked like that first half, you know, things were a little bit dicey. And then in the second half, after we make some adjustments, we kind of made them play our game. And I can tell you, you Bulldog fans that were in attendance, we heard you. We absolutely heard you because the big dunk late by Riley Kugel, you could hear our Bulldog fans roar. Right? That's cool. So, I'm having to text my daughter. All right. So, anyway, that's a problem with kids living out of state. Sometimes mail comes here that they need, like a registration. But anyway, Bulldogs win 84-79. And we just have such a grit about us. You know, some people like hate to be called blue collar. We are a blue-collar team because you better bring a sack lunch when you play us. We're down 5 at the break. We outscore them by 10 in the second half. Very, very impressive. Josh Hubbard with 14. And there's Keyshawn Murphy again with 16 off the bench. RJ Melendez, who is really emerging as a good player, 15 points. And then 13 for Riley Cook. And I'm going to tell you this, kids, Claude O'Harris pitches in 10. When we're getting 5 players in double digits, we are going to be a very difficult out for everybody involved. We shot 31% in the first half, shot 53 in the second. Figuring some things out, also kind of, Keyshawn wasn't just like a trash man around the rim, just kind of cleaning up second chance points. He knocked down a couple of big threes for us. Exciting, man. When you've got a guy like that, with his length and athleticism that can play in the post and then kind of stretch the floor a little bit, very impressive. Very, very, very impressive. So let's work through the backside of this thing here a little bit too. You know, when you start thinking about defensive pressure and things like that, you know, give SMU some credit. They shot it pretty consistently. The difference was they just couldn't get the same volume of shots up in the second half because State made them work deeper into the clock to get shots off. They shot 27 shots in the first half, just 20. In the second half, we talk about Chris Jans being the dentist, you know, how it's just excruciating to play us, and it is. And how about the Bulldog free throw shooting 19 of 25? Now, all of a sudden, we're starting to think, you know, hey, maybe we're going to be a good free throw shooting team, and we're going to have to be, right? We're going to have to be in league play. You know how it goes, late in ball games, you got to make free throws to put teams away, and we did. So excited about that again. And if you're not excited, you should be. Now we've got a number next to our name starting to get some national recognition. Bulldogs back in action on Thursday out in Tempe, Arizona. Heard some people on staff today talking about making a trip out there to help, support on the ground. So we'll preview that game on Wednesday, and then we'll turn right back around and play again on Friday either against Butler or Northwestern. So a couple ball games out there in Tempe, Arizona. Those games are going to be broadcast by CBS Sports Network. So it should be a good thing for you to see. So again, we'll preview the Wednesday game on Thursday's show, and then we'll turn around on Friday and recap the Thursday game and preview the Friday game. So a lot to cheer for this week. And, of course, we got some other things going on Friday, too, that you might be aware of. We're going to talk a lot about that this week. Not a lot about Ole Miss today, though. And we're going to kind of look, recap in the weekend and kind of set our week. And then we'll get into them more on Wednesday. We'll talk about them a little bit as we recap the SEC at large. But not a lot of rivalry talk today. We do have a top 10 list kind of in that same vein. So women's basketball, we talk again. What else can we say, man? Watch a little bit of that game against Jacksonville. Guys, 80-35 in that game. 80-35. Now, granted, Jacksonville's not a great team, but again, they nearly beat Miami. So it's not like they're not capable of doing some good things, but State comes out and has a great 17-point first quarter, lead by 8. Next thing you know, it's a 13-point game at the half. And just when Jacksonville thought, okay, we're going to come out here and make some hay in the third quarter, State outscores them by 20, 27-7 to put the game away. And, you know, three single-digit quarters. The one quarter that wasn't single digits, they had 10 points. Great defensive effort by the Bulldogs. Jerkayla Jordan with 12 points. Anaya Russell with 12 points. Medina Okot with 11. She's really starting to pick it up. You know, so you start running through the numbers here. Leading scorer is Quinara Montague with 17 points. Guys, women's basketball, when you start getting four players in double digits, you're going to win a lot of games. And so, again, I think, you know, beginning of the year, I told you guys I felt better about the men than I do the women. And granted, the women haven't played, you know, a great non-conference schedule, but they're doing what you should do with teams that are beneath you. They're drilling them. Absolutely drilling them. None of these games have been close. I mean, the closest game that we have had so far is 25 points, 69-44 win over Chattanooga. Absolutely wearing people out. Now, we will be in the Cayman Islands this week. We'll play on Thursday. Again, we'll preview the game a little bit on Thursday. So we'll have Utah, and that's a Flow College sports thing. I know how you people feel about that. Maybe you got your checks. And then we'll turn around on Friday and play South Florida down in the Cayman. So, you know, a couple quality opponents for us. And so we'll preview Thursday's game on Wednesday and then recap Thursday and preview Friday on Friday's show. So a lot going on this week. Wish there was still some soccer going on. But that's the reality of college athletics. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. Longtime sponsors of this show, man. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I have for a long time. Looking forward to getting back in there at some point this week. I got kids coming to town this week, so I know they're going to want to go to Bulldog. Maybe we're in there Tuesday evening. Maybe. We'll see. Maybe. It's tomorrow. Excited to have some family here. And whether it's your family or your friends or coworkers or new acquaintances, it's a great place to go eat. That's Bulldog Burger Company. Put your feet under their table, and they'll take care of everything else. You just bring the appetite and a method of payment. Everything else is taken care of by the fine folks at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. You can have a work lunch. You can have a night out with friends or family. Have an adult beverage if you so desire. But get that great restaurant quality hamburger. Again, I'm back on the smokehouse thing now. I kind of strayed for a week. I'm back on it. Maybe you will be too. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. And get maybe that chocolate shake to go. Sometimes there's a special shake, too. Don't forget to ask for it. They do a good job kind of suggesting it. But say, hey, what is there a special shake this week? Because you never know what it may be. Maybe something you really like for a limited time only. So don't be afraid to ask about, hey, is there something special? You know, I can maybe drink on the ride home and ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. Let's take a look at this football game real quick here. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it because, you know, number one, we lost. And so I don't want to spend a lot of time extending the pain. But also, too, I want to go over a few things, and then we'll get into the top 10, and we'll get into some recruiting stuff. We'll look at the weekend that was in the Southeastern Conference. Probably do it in reverse order. But, you know, this game, man, it really felt like we were on the verge here of doing something pretty cool. You know, we come in there, and the thing for me, and I know it probably is the same for so many of you, what makes this season so difficult, it's not just the losing. I mean, we're 2-9. There's no way you can feel good about that. But everything just seems to be such a struggle for us. Outside of Nick Barmera's kickoffs, there's just not a lot out there. You say, hey, you know what? I can kind of relax a little bit and know that this is going to be taken care of. Man, everything, it feels like we're on the edge of our seat, just kind of hoping something doesn't go wrong. And I hate feeling that way. I hate it because I love Mississippi State, and I hate to see State in such a state that, you know, you remember how it was like under Jackie Sherrill? Even in 98, 99, and even 2000, we weren't really a prolific scoring team. But sometimes I'd rather just watch the defense play just because, number one, there was a possibility of them scoring. But we had so many playmakers on defense. It was fun to watch Ashley Cooper go out there and just absolutely cut people in half. We don't have that. I enjoy watching Isaac Smith play. Just not enough people around him. We got to address that in the portal. So, but, you know, we come out there and we kind of get things going, you know, and even that just kind of felt herky-jerky. You know what I mean? It's like, so we come out, and Missouri is a team, people have been able to run on some. I mean, they're not, it's not like a, you know, a cattle gap or something, but, you know, they're just kind of decent against the run. And so we run up the middle for three. We come back, we get it to Kelly Akari for 10, and really like Kelly Akari. Wish we'd had a healthy Kelly Akari all year. And then Booth gets loose for 33 yards. And you're like, look at this. Guys, we're already inside the 40 at the Missouri 35. We're about to go in. We get it out to Kevin Coleman for 7. It's a very manageable second three. And then we give it to Booth. And it's 6. So first down now at the Missouri 22. We're going in. We give it to Daniels, who gets 2. So we're at the 20. Then we're incomplete. We end up having a kick field goal. And so you're happy to get a lead. You're happy to get points on the first drive. But we got down there in the red zone and we bogged down. You got to be able to make that a touchdown. And then give the defense some credit. You know, defense has not been great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and defend the defense. But we also have to praise them when they put together a couple good series and give us a chance in this ballgame. They go 3 and out right here. It's complete to Luther Burden, and it's basically, you know, just a little puff pass there, the jet sweep action, they give it to him. They throw it forward, so it's technically a forward pass. It's a pitch forward. And then, you know, Nate Noel's going to run the football some, just 1 yard gain, and then it's incomplete. Brandon Jennings gets in his face, and Brady Cook has to throw it away. So 3 and out, and then it's a 32-yard punt, and we fair catch it at 38. It's a good field position here. And I told Mike Nemeth, we're about to go up 10-0 in this ballgame. Well, here we go. We get it out to Kevin Coleman for 6, and then we come back to Sadu Treor for just 3. And so it's 3rd and 1. You got to be able to pick up a 3rd and 1. Instead, we get blown backwards and lose 4 yards on the play. I don't know which lineman got blown up, but we got blown up. So we give it right back to him. 3 and out. Now, the good thing is we get a good kick here. Nick Barmera, 48 yards, fair caught inside of Missouri 10 at the 9. And so you think, hey, you know, if we can get, you know, a comparable series again like we had before, maybe we get a 3 and out, maybe get 1 first down, you got a chance to flip field here. So it's incomplete. It's so interesting, too. It's so interesting looking at all this stuff. You know, Luther Burden's a stud. And it took a while for he clearly had our attention. But, you know, this play right here, when Hunter Washington breaks on this thing, a lot of people thought it was a fumble. It's kind of reminiscent of the egg bowl, right? You see a little swing pass out there. We blow it up. We get off a block. The ball's thrown, you know, out there in the flat. It's thrown forward, though. And one more second. It's curtains, baby. All right, Nate Noel then rushes for a 2-yard loss, which backs it up. And then it's 3rd down, and we get a sack. Zachary Tillman comes loose for a sack of 6 yards right at the goal line. So they're pinned back deep. They just got to get a punt off, right? It's like a 2-step punt. Just got to get it out of there. It's a 39-yard punt to the Missouri 40, and we return it 8 yards, so we set up shop at their 32. Guys, we are dominating this football game at this point. We're just not cashing in and putting up points. 2 really good series by the Bulldog defense. And two favorable situations here with us in plus territory. I mean, we spent majority of the first quarter on their side of the 50. All right, so Booth up the middle for two. And then Van Buren, it's a second and eight play, and he scrambles and gets sacked and fumbles. They scoop it up, and they return it 68 yards for a touchdown. And, guys, I'm going to tell you this. The psyche of this fan base is incredibly fragile. And as soon as that happened, just about all of the air in the stadium just evaporated. It's like, guys, we're doing so well. And if you think if you go up 10 points here, you know, go up two scores, defense can really play a little bit, right? But instead, despite the fact at this point in the ballgame, Missouri had negative 3 yards offense. That's it. And they had the lead, 7-3. Man, sometimes it's like we're snake bit. All right, we get the ball back. Van Buren incomplete to Kelly Akari. We give it to Daniels for one, and then it's a short pass to Justin Ball that's incomplete. And to be honest with you, I didn't think Mike was great on Saturday. Made some big throws down the field, but when we put him in motion, there were a couple times, too, that like he threw the ball at receiver's feet. Guys were open, too. All right, so they take over now. And is, you know, to run, it's first and 10 from their 25. Run ahead for six, then it's incomplete. So it's a second and four, then Jamal Roberts gets loose for 14. So chance to get off the field, we'll give a big play there. Brady Cook then is complete to Marquise Johnson all the way down to the state 10-yard line. Not great. Not great. Not great. And so they're set up big time, right? They are set up in a great situation here. And again, what air had kind of come back in the stadium? You know, it wasn't good. It's a very tenuous situation. So, of course, they're going to go right in here and score, and they do. Roberts off the left side for five, back up the middle for three. We take a timeout here and set the defense, and then they score the next play. So now it's 14-3. Now, give the Bulldogs credit, and it's one of those things, too. It's like there has to be some separation in the game sometimes for us to find some rhythm offensively. And I go back to that. I asked Jeff Levy a little bit about that in postgame. You know, it's like, you know, kind of getting all this together, you know. It's like we just can't get going until there is a deficit in the game and we have to start chasing the game. That's got to change. That has to change. We can't keep having these lackadaisical starts. And listen, I know it's 11 games into the season. But if we could ever put together, you know, a two-score first quarter and have a lead going into the second quarter, you know, we might feel differently about things. That's the thing. It's one of those problems that has just kind of hung in there with us. But we do put a good drive here, and it just takes us about, you know, two minutes, 49 seconds to kind of get things going here. Less than that, really. I mean, it's like 2.5 minutes. We're right down the field and scored. We get it out to Coleman for 13. Then we're incomplete to Seydou. But, you know, again, it's that fade. We've run that fade to him a few times, and I don't know if we've hit it yet. Michael Van Buren then complete to Coleman for 8, and then we give it to Booth up the middle for 3 that moves the chains. I didn't think he made it, to be honest with you. They say he did. First down for the Bulldogs. We get it out to Akari for 5. And then on top of it, it's just craziness here. It's back. It's 2 15-yard penalties on the same play. They flag Corey Flagg, no pun intended, for personal foul. In addition to that, they hit Chuck Hicks. You take that, Chuck. 15 yards. So it's 5 yards on the pass and then 30 yards of penalties. So we go from the 46-yard line all the way down to the 16-yard line. Yeah. So then we give it to Booth for 5. And across the middle to Mosley for the touchdown. And extra points good. 14-10 ball game. And you start thinking, hey, maybe we can get a stop here and climb back into this thing. First down play runs out to quarter, and it's complete to Luther Burden for just 5 yards there. And so that runs out the quarter. We go to the second quarter now. And they're getting things going. You know, we've cut it to a score. We've got to hold them to at least a field goal here. If we can't get a stop, didn't work out that way. It's complete out to Theo Weiss for 14 yards. And then Noel up the middle for 4, back to him for 10. They flag him for holding, so it backs him back up here. It's basically, you know, second 10, I guess, when it's all said and done. It kind of negates some of that, but it didn't put him behind the chains. But then Weiss gets it for 7, and then Cook takes off and runs for 9 yards and gets the first down. And that's the thing about Cook, too. He really couldn't stress us vertically. Like, even on the touchdown pass on this drive, he just kind of tosses it up there, lets this guy make a play. We had a quarterback that was injured, and you could tell that it was a real labor for him to push it down the field, and they still beat us. That's frustrating. It's really frustrating. All right, so first down now. They give it to Lacy for 6, back to Noel for 11. That moves the chains. Noel gets it again for 5 yards and makes it 2nd and 5. And then Nate Noel runs for a loss of 4, a chance for us to get off the field here. And they take a shot down the field, and we just misplay it. I mean, you got a great player down there, but it's a pretty basic play, and Burton has better ball skills, and he makes the play. It's a touchdown, extra points good. It's 21-10, and it really felt like things were slipping away. So we have a chance to go back and answer here, but we don't. We only get 7 yards on the next 3 plays. We give it to Booth for 5, back to Booth for 2, makes it 3rd and 3, and it's incomplete to Kevin Coleman. Another one of those passes thrown at somebody's feet. Nick Barmera gets off a 51-yard punt, backs up inside the 20. And they really take control here. It's a 2-score game here, but after this drive here, I think we all realized how this one was going to end up, and it was so deflating. All right, Cook up the middle for 2, and this is a ball where it's a bad snap, and he just kind of fumbles and stumbles forward and still gets 2 yards. Carroll gets 2, makes it a 3rd down play, and it's like, okay, maybe we can get off the field here, but instead it's a 38-yard reception. Back to Noel for 2, again for 8, moves the chains, back to him again for 8, makes it a manageable 2nd and 2. Then we get him for no loss, and then we get flagged for having 12 men on the field. So we gift them, and how can that happen this late in the year? We got to know who's on which personnel group. You should never have 12 men on the field. And then Marcus Carroll gets loose 19 yards at the middle, and the ball game is over at this point. We try to keep it a game and put together a bit of a scoring drive here to take it from a 3-score game to a 2-score game. We really needed to get a touchdown here, but we do get points. Van Buren complete to Jordan Mosley for 17. Then we're complete to Justin Ball for 13 yards. So, again, we're kind of ripping and running a little bit here. Incomplete on a shot down the field to Kevin Coleman. But on 2nd and 10, Johnny Daniels up the middle for 7. We go back to Daniels, and he gets the needed yardage to move the chains. All right, it's 1st and 10 now, and we get it to Kevin Coleman. 17 yards inside the red zone here, and you're thinking, okay, we're starting to get some chunk plays. Maybe we figured some things out. Van Buren gets flushed, runs ahead for 2. And kind of an awkward slide there. And because you slide, they mark you down where the slide begins. Booth then goes for 4 and then ahead again for 2, but they flag us for holding. It just didn't seem like, you know, I'd have to go back and look at that. It was such a late flag. I didn't like it. I never do. So that backs us up again. Then we're complete the ball at the Mizzou 10 for 11. So we're still within, you know, reasonable striking distance here. We get it short left to Coleman at the Missouri 3, gain of 7. We go no huddle, give it to Booth, and it's a touchdown. However, they call Jacoby Jackson on the backside of the play for holding. 2 holding calls, a little bit auspicious to me. And then Van Buren up the middle for 5. They end up calling a timeout here. We're incomplete to Jordan Mosley at the goal line, and then incomplete to Seydou. Walker in his face there. We kicked field goal. But again, a golden opportunity for us to really make this thing a game, and we have to kick field goal there. And so they get the ball back, run it out, run out the clock. So it's 28-13 at the break, and they get the ball coming out of the half. That's one of the disadvantages of always having it first. We've had it first in every game this year. All 11 games, we have been on offense first. All right, so we get into the second half here.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
And, you know, Mizzou's looking to put this thing away. And, you know, and why wouldn't you, right? Have some killer instinct. Put together a pretty, you know, pretty significant drive, 15 yards, 15 plays, 57 yards on the drive, but they eat up almost 9 minutes of the quarter. It's Noel off the right side for 15, back to him for three, and then Cook is complete to Brett Norfleet, 57 yards for a touchdown. However, it's come back for a block in the back, and it was a pretty obvious call. Marcus Carroll then runs to the middle for nine, back to him for four more and a first down. They give it to Noel for six and then go back to him for four, first down again. I mean, what were you're seeing it. You're hearing it. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 yards a carry. You can't play winning football that way. Noel again off the left side for four, then for three, and then brings up a rush right for 2 yards. So it's a fourth down situation, and they like to sneak and instead of us packing the line there, I mean, I know it's a big physical quarterback, but he's a little bit beat up. But you know the sneak is coming, and we don't, you know, based on what I saw, we didn't line up well. And those things can happen. First down, it's a backbreaker. Run right side for three, back to Noel for five. And then none, they kicked field goal, and it's now a 31-13 game. So the missed opportunity of the previous drive comes back to haunt us. And again, it's separation of the ball game, so we find some semblance of offense here. A couple big plays, though. Devon Booth off the right side for 22, and then back off the left side for 43 yards. And then you got to put a tired defense right back on the field. I mean, hey, you take points whenever you can get them, but they had just been out there for 15 plays. And before they can get a swig of Gatorade, they got to go right back out there and play defense again. But it's a 31-20 game after the extra point. Now, the good thing is, we get a stop because of a special teams failure, and we knew that the field goal kicker from Missouri wasn't great. He was just 12-19 on the year. They put together, again, a solid drive here, 9 plays, 52 yards. Give the defense some credit for bowing up here. Noel at the middle for 4 yards, then it's complete to Theo Weiss for 13. That moves the chains. Noel for three, back to Noel for four, brings up a big third down there, and it's complete to Luther Burden for 28 yards for first down. Cook then runs right side for nothing. Ellington with a nice tackle there. Then it's incomplete, and then incomplete. And that's a PBU by Bryce Pollock in one of those. And, the shot to Brett Norfleet just wasn't there. So they attempt a 44-yard field goal, and thanks to our students, we knew that they missed it. So now all of a sudden you think, okay, now if you can go get a score and get a stop, you got a chance. You got a chance. So we take over here, and at the Mizzou, where do we get this ball? I don't recall. Anyway, so Van Buren is complete to Akari for 49 yards. We're rolling right here. Now, all of a sudden, there's life in the stadium, and those that have left are thinking about coming back. Like, if we score here, I'm going to go back with my cowbell. Daniels up the middle for four, makes it a second and six play. And then we're incomplete across the middle to Seydou at the Missouri 10. And that runs out the quarter. But again, you start thinking, you know, just maybe we can make some things happen here in the quarter. Johnny Daniels up the middle for three. And rather than kick the field goal, we decide that we're going to go for it. And it's incomplete at Jordan Mosley's feet at the Missouri 9-yard line. Yeah, not great. Not a great development by any stretch of the imagination. We got to execute better there. Because if you kick the field goal, it's 31-23, and it's a one-score game. And then the pressure changes sidelines. Because you got to think, they were up 18. Now, all of a sudden, hey, we were up three scores. Now we're only up one. It creates some anxiety on those on that side of the field. And I think we let them off the hook here. And I think as a result, too, I think you also just kind of lay a turd sandwich in your defense's lap. They've been out there fighting hard for you. And listen, I know everybody, it's so easy to beat them up here. We got to play complimentary football. Jeff Levy says it himself all the time. You got to kick that field goal. You have to kick the field goal. But we don't. And they get the ball back. Noel off the right side for one and back up the middle for seven. Makes it a third down play. They get two. I mean, right at the sticks, it's that close. Chance for us to get off the field, we couldn't get it done. Jamal Roberts off the right side for three, back to Noel for one. Again, a third down play, and it's complete to Josh Manning for 36 yards. First down. Carroll off the right side for four. It's complete to Burden down at the state 24. And it just feels like a thing is slipping away, and you think, you know what, maybe if we just hold to a field goal, we got a chance here. If we just hold to a field goal, maybe we've got a chance. But that wasn't the case. Wasn't the case. So they give it Cook up the middle for one, and then Carroll up the middle for one. Again, you know, third down play. Excuse me, first down after Cook's run, after another sneak. And then Carroll up for one. And then Marcus Carroll up the middle for a one-yard touchdown. I wasn't sure he made it in. I thought the linesman was really quick to throw his hands up, but I think on review it would have held up. And then they go for two and make it a 39-20 game. I don't understand why they went for two. I'd like to know that. I think it's just being smug. But at this point, the game is officially over. We had an opportunity to make it a one-score game, and now all of a sudden it is a three-score game again. That, to me, that is gross mismanagement of the game. Said it then, I'm saying it now. It was a mistake. Absolutely a tactical mistake. Of course, you get a you got to get two scores anyway. At some point, you got to get the field goal. You'd love to have two touchdowns. But when it looks like things are bogging down, you got to take the points and get what you can get. And we don't, and paid the price. All right, 39-20. So we get the ball back here, and right out of the gate, it's a false start. Kevin Coleman just takes off running. We just didn't notice snap count there. All right, first and 15, and Van Buren is in sack for a loss. Second and 18, we're complete to Seydou for 13, makes it a manageable third down. And then we're incomplete to Jordan Mosley, end up having a punt. No, we went for it here. Yeah. And we've run this little flare pass out to Seydou countless times, and I don't know if it's been successful yet. And the throw is a little bit high, but he only gets 1 yard. So it's a turnover on downs, and they run the clock out. But again, I go back to this whole decision not to kick the field goal. We're not paid to make these decisions. You know, we're only paid to kind of to question them or to support them. And I just can't get behind that when you have a chance to make it a one-score game and you let them off the hook. Your discretion's a better part of valor. I think it was a mistake. They take over, and it's complete to Norfleet for 17 yards, down to the state 14. And you think, you know, they went for two last time. They may punch it in here just for the sake of doing so. Noel runs for two, back to him for no gain. And then Jamal Roberts for five. they go for it and get it out to Luke DeBurden at the MSU 11, 5 yards on the first down. And then they basically kneel at the clock. And, of course, there's the whole thing with Eli Drinkwitz yelling at our team, if you don't shut up, I'm going to score again. You know, those are the kinds of things that I like to file away. And a lot of people have said, hey, we got to address this, got to address this. I think we've got bigger fish to fry. I think the way you address it is you save it for next year. And when you go up there, when you have the opportunity, you just run it all over them. Like, I'm a terrible loser, but I'm a worse winner. And I'm the kind of person, and I told this to Dan Mullen before, we talked about, you know, some Ole Miss stuff earlier. I told him, Dan told me before that, hey, I think taking a knee, you know, when you have people that have an ego, when you show them mercy, it's more of an insult to them. And I was like, no, Dan, that's not true. It's not true. He goes, well, yeah, but knowing you can score and not score, and that kind of rubs their nose in. I said, no, coach. When it comes to Ole Miss, you got to score every point you can get, period. Because they would do the same thing to you. Now, Eli Drinkwitz has done this to us. And so when it's opportunity to repent, I don't mean going for too late in the ballgame. I think when you have a chance to run it up on Eli Drinkwitz, you got to run it up. Now, that's easier said than done. The guy's a good football coach. But there's just some weird things about him and that program. And, again, they're a good program. I'm a Brady Cook fan. And I thought he played well despite his physical limitations in the game. But I won't forget that, and nor should anybody involved with Mississippi State football. And I'm sure the league office will say, hey, Eli, we can't have you do that. But, guys, I'm going to tell you, I shot photos for years on the sidelines. There's so much stuff that gets said on the field that you guys are never aware of, from your players and coaches too. You know, you just happen to get – that gets caught on camera, and that becomes a discussion, you know. But the reality of that is that there's a lot of things said in the heat of battle that you guys are unaware of. So that's a ball game. And, again, I don't know if it's a game that we were going to win, but I think it's a game that we basically kind of removed the possibility of winning by not kicking that field goal. Those are my feelings about it. You may feel differently. That's how I feel. They had 24 first downs. We had 16. They ran for 12, passed for 10. We ran for 6, rushed for 8. Couple of penalties for each side. They ran for a net of 204 yards. We ran for a net of 147. If you told me before the game we'd run for about 150, I would say, you know what? We got a chance to win this ball game. Turns out we did, and we almost got doubled up in this ball game. Passing yards, 191 yards, not going to get it done. 268 for them, and again, that's with a quarterback that couldn't push it down the field. A couple of nice runs and catches. You know, they had a couple fade shots, but 472 yards of offense for them, 338 for us. Neither are acceptable against a Southeastern Conference opponent. We only ran 50 plays. And some of that's because they ate up so much the third quarter, but a lot of it's those three and outs early in the ballgame. We've got to get better starts. Simple as that. Again, the shiny moment, Nick Barmira, 49.3 yards a punt. He's had plenty of practice. 7 kickoffs for them, 5 of them touchbacks. We have 5 kickoffs, 3 of them end up being touchbacks. Looking at some individual numbers before we get to a top 10 list. All right, individual numbers here. Brady Cook, 15 of 20. Michael Van Buren, 16 of 28. And some of those, I think, were 4 incompletions thrown right at the feet of our receivers. Got to get better. Davin Booth, your shining star, 124 yards on just 12 carries, averaging 10.3 yards. Kelly Akara, your leading receiver, 3 for 64. Kevin Coleman, 6 of 58. I've been recently told that Kevin Coleman has either agreed to or is about to agree to an NIL deal to stay. That'd be big news, right? Big, big news. Defensively, and again, when they're on the field so much, you know, the defensive numbers ought to be, you know, decidedly in our favor as far as tackles go. Stone Blanton with 18 tackles in the ballgame. Isaac Smith with 14, Nick Mitchell with 11, Corey Ellington with 10. I submit to you, when you've got 4 guys in double digits and tackles, you probably didn't win the game. That means you were on the field an awful lot. And we were. All right, let's get to our top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. And you begin to think, a young person in life, you begin to wonder, do I need a mortgage guy? Yes, you do. Yes, you do, especially if you're starting out looking for your first home. But whether it's your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, don't just entrust your mortgage to just any Joe Schmo out there. Stick with a winner like Blair Chandler. His phone number is 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Several of our listeners have closed with Blair, and he's licensed to practice in several states, not just the great state of Mississippi. You can reach out to him to see if he can and help you in your situation. Yeah, we had one listener that they got turned down by somebody else. Blair had him at the signing table about 10 days later. Yeah. He knows how to construct loans in a way that underwriting is going to approve more times than not. So check him out. You'll be glad you did. Interest rates are beginning to come down a little bit, and Blair is a guy that keeps up with that on the daily. That's Blair Chandler at closeatblair.com. Okay, it is rivalry week. You know, a lot of people would say, Steve, we're not bitter enemies. I disagree. Maybe you've had a different experience than me. But so we're going to do songs about enemies today. And ironically, all of them have the same title with one exception. So we're going to start out with one of the best modern rock bands of the last decade. It's Beartooth's version of Enemy. And all these songs are different. They just have the same title. But Beartooth, I love those guys. Had a chance to see them in Rocklahoma. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, appreciate Mark so much taking care of me. It's a big part of things. It's great when you have friends that look out for you, especially when they know your interest. Like, hey, Steve, I think you would enjoy this, right? And I did. I always enjoy going to Rocklahoma. They've changed the date of it, so it's a little bit more difficult for me to get out there. But number nine on your list, a band that's never been on our top 10 list before, it's Wage War. And I don't know if you know much about these guys, but so basically they kind of got together in Ocala, Florida. They are very much a metalcore band, though. So if you are of the faint of heart, this may not be your cup of tea. But the name of the song is Enemy from Wage War. Number eight, our friend Chris Jericho. Had a chance to meet Chris and the band Fozzy down in Hattiesburg. Me and the homie Sam Denton went down there, hung out with my buddy Brian Jones a little bit too. Even got Chris to write an autograph to Ian, the youngest in my family, who was a huge wrestling fan. I don't even know if he has that anymore, but I do. I have my swag and my Fozzy shirt. And also the track is called Enemy from Fozzy. It's a cool track too. We've done a top 10 Fozzy list too. I like Fozzy. And when Chris Jericho first started talking about doing this band Fozzy, he'd come out wearing those Fozzy shirts on Raw, and you think, this is probably just a joke. But man, he's been at it for a long time. They've had several big hits. They're a legitimate band. Number seven, it's the Hollywood Undead's Enemy. I like Hollywood Undead. We could probably let Roy know it's Hollywood Undead. So I put Hollywood. But it's Hollywood Undead. And they're a little different too, okay? They're not operatic in their singing by any stretch of the imagination. They yell a lot, but it's not like from the pits of hell or anything. They just kind of push it out. But I like Hollywood Undead. My favorite song for them is City of the Dead. Love City of the Dead from Hollywood Undead. So if you're looking for a new modern rock band with a little flavor to them, listen to them. They're a little bit like Fever 333. I like those guys too. All right, number six. This has been on our list before. It's probably my favorite song from Drowning Pool, not named Bodies, because everybody gets so caught up in that. Like everybody, let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. You all know that. You know that song. And so they've made some changes in the lineup, but a great track called Enemy. Never wanted to be your enemy. But I love the guitar on this. They do some pretty cool things percussion-wise on this thing, too. It's a very solid rock song from a really, really, really solid rock band on a really good album. All right, number five, a band that I really dig, a little more modern. They got a rapper. It's kind of modern new metal. It's From Ashes to New's Enemy. From Ashes to New Enemy. A lot of people love From Ashes to New, and I do, too. I need to get a shirt so I can rep those guys. But From Ashes to New, probably my favorite track from them is Name. But they've had a lot of cool tracks. They even did a great rendition of Beat It from Michael Jackson. You check that out. Number four, sticking with new things. a band that many of you know from one song. And they were more than just a one-hit wonder, though they never really got credit for it. It's Days of the New. This is a little bit of a different track for them. They have the acoustic stuff, but there's like this bass line that is a little more, I hate to use the term dancey, but it's more of an industrial grind. And again, it's a track called Enemy, Days of the New, Enemy. I think you'll dig it. It's a little unconventional, but I think you'll have fun with it. Number three, probably not really a rock song. This is kind of a genre-bending song. It's got some country vibe to it, a little bit of rock guitar to it, and some rap to it. It's Struggle Jennings and Jelly Roll's Enemy. And it talks about, you know, my own worst enemy is me. We didn't put Lit on here, but we're not going to. But you know, Struggle Jennings, Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll has a huge following. I remember when he opened for Shinedown and people were like, hey, who is this guy? The next thing you know, he's everywhere. And he's gotten up and given some very impassioned speeches about life. He testified before Congress about the opioid epidemic in the United States and how it's really a matter of life and death. He is a guy that's overcome a lot. A lot of respect for him. And again, you look at him, and a lot of people think, you know what, he doesn't look like the typical superstar. It's because the message is so powerful. There's so much in music, it's built around image. And that's not the case with Jelly Roll. He just has something of substance to say. And I think it resonates with people. We need people that aren't just studio performers. We need people that sing and perform and write from the heart. And that's where I think Jelly Roll is. All right, number two. One of my favorite songs from this band, and I've met them also at Rocklahoma, and just I'm looking to the right there. I've got an old hat, a brimmed hat that I used to wear when I'd cover 7-on-7 tournaments and everything, and I was out at Rocklahoma, and I wore this hat, kind of keep the sun on my face, and it's signed by the rock band Seven Dust. Interesting story. Dan and I are sitting side stage, and I can't remember who we were seeing. One of these one-hit wonders or whatever. But anyway, so all of a sudden I walk outside and there's LeJohn Witherspoon coming up on a golf cart. And he waves us down, go down. I think they thought I was in a band. And so I go down and I meet Morgan and Clint, who was also in recovery. I'm a huge fan of his solo album, God Bless the Renegades. I absolutely love that album. Of course, it sounds a lot like Seven Dust. It's a different vocalist because Clint sings the vocal. But I love the track Enemy, Step Up to Me. Oh, I love it. So much attitude and effort in this song, and it really gets you sideways, man. So if you're having a little bit of a beef with somebody, this may be the one you listen to. Because it's like, it's aggressive in the verses, but it's so melodic in the chorus. I absolutely love it, man. Love the guitar on it. I think Morgan does a killer job on the drums, and Morgan now in recovery too. I love to see that, man. Love to see people, instead of them losing it all, and becoming a statistic, that they find the error of their ways and they take corrective action. You love it, man. But number one, probably my favorite, maybe my second favorite song off the self-titled album from Rage Against the Machine. And again, I want to give credit to Reed McNamara, my friend Jim, who lives in Yeovil, England now. Turned us on to Rage. Reeve had it and dubbed us a copy, and we became Rage fans immediately. I know that they have changed a lot. I don't support all their politics, but I think they're one of the most significant bands of my generation. And I wish they were still together. I'd love to get their take on things. And of course, Tom Morello is, is the guy that's not shy about putting his beliefs out there. And sometimes I don't know if he really believes it or if he's just being an agent provocateur. But it's interesting, like they took a lot of flack during COVID, they were telling people to go get vaxxed and things like that. And I'm sure that came from a good place. But a lot of people were like, hey, you think about killing in the name of, I won't do what you tell me. I won't do what you tell me. And then they did exactly what the government told them to do. Yeah. And so Tom and those guys kind of got beat up a little bit on that. It's like you spend all of this in rebellion, and then you conform. Yeah, and it's kind of like I joke with some of my friends, that used to be big Skid Row fans, and I joke with them that now instead of it used to be the youth gone wild, now it's middle age gone mild. But I refuse to change. I will be an ambassador for the denim jacketed army from years ago. I remember going to Bebop Record Shop and all that good stuff. I'm not walking away. I will remain a defender of the faith. until the bitter end. Matter of fact, when I go, I'll probably listen to Motley Crue or Rat or something. True story. I love the new stuff, but I am still true to the old school. No doubt about it. But yeah, I've always liked songs, a little bit of attitude. Like people to have good image, like people to have something to say. You know, that's one of the reasons that I think, you know, I tell you, Poison in many respects is kind of the quintessential 80s band. But they were all about excess. Other than Something to Believe In, there just really wasn't a lot of substance to their music. I know many of you disagree. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you're wrong. If you enjoy it, you enjoy it. Just like the Nirvana thing. I think Nirvana absolutely is terrible. But so many of you love it. I'm not going to sit here and be a music snob about it. I just think, you know, I've read some articles recently too, because I have so many people that share that with you. Many of our fellow Nirvana haters, that just about every big song Nirvana ever recorded, they ripped off the riff from somebody else. You know, but what I will say about that, kind of in defense of those guys, is that we're all influenced by somebody musically, artistically. And so in some ways, we're all kind of ripping off each other. I get ripped off all the time. But be that as it may, if you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to find Roy on Twitter or X at Dogmatic67. You can find our great list also under that same handle on Spotify, Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. It's his birth year. And I'm on all forms of socials at ScoutSteveR. If you're not following me on X, what are you doing with your life? We would inundate your feed with all the latest and greatest Mississippi State information. You know, there's no point in you being willfully uninformed. Sure, a lot of good stuff on the Facebook stuff too, but the VIP stuff makes all goes to Twitter. Only the free stuff makes it to Facebook. And listen, if you're not a member of Gene's Page, you can still get all of your team coverage for free by coming and seeing us, because we make all the big room stuff free, every bit of it. You know, the player interviews, coach interviews, videos are free. You can just come watch them. You don't have to be a subscriber. You can just come watch. But I think once you come over there and hang out with us a little bit, you'll see all the VIP content, especially on the recruiting side, and say, you know what? I think I want to take the plunge and take advantage of that 75% off the annual subscription rate that's available for a limited time beginning tonight at 11 o'clock Central, midnight Eastern. And it's going to run in about a week. So make sure you jump on that sooner rather than later. That's a great Christmas gift, too. You think about maybe your dad. It's like, you know, your dad's a reader, and there's not enough Mississippi State information in your local paper, and he's having to depend on these bloggers out here. How about let him depend on people that know, people that actually cover the team? There are a lot of people that claim to cover the team that don't. And so I encourage you to support those of us that do, right? And there's a lot of people on our beat that are hardworking people. It's true. And there's a couple of those websites out there on the Facebook groups. I can't think of that one, that Mississippi State Fan HQ or whatever. They just take our work and the work of our colleagues and they run it through AI and they steal our quotes and things like that. And they pass it off as their own work and we don't make a dime on any of that stuff. So I encourage you not to support those people. Support people that actually staff and cover the beat. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. You do too. If you don't, it's because you just hadn't interacted with them. Campus Bookmart is a wonderful place to do business. Every time that I go in there, I wish I had more money in my pocket because I would like to buy them out. There's always so many great things that I need, knickknacks for people. Not only that too, but it's like you think about all the stuff that's in your life, right? I mean, you always want to update. You always want new stuff. And every Mississippi State fan on your list wants new Mississippi State gear. If they root for another team, don't buy them team gear. Like, buy them something else. You know, buy them NFL gear, NBA gear, or high school gear. Don't give money to those other teams. That's my opinion. And I'm right. But, yeah, we want to support the home team. So you guys be sure and to visit campusbookmart.net. Do all your online shopping there rather than through Amazon or some third-party vendor that doesn't know what maroon looks like. You can also order my books directly from Campus Bookmart because you're going to get free shipping when you order over $75 worth of merchandise. Yeah. Use promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's go back and look at their weekend. It was Kentucky at Texas. I told you guys I thought Kentucky would cover. They did. But Texas wins the game 31-14. You know, Kentucky tried to make it a weird game. It's what they do. They give you these odd fronts. They run a 50 sometimes up front. They do some odd things up front that you don't see ordinarily, and they kind of take you out of things. Quinn Ewers got a little bit banged up in the game. There's some concern about his availability this weekend as they get ready to play Texas A&M. Contravion Wisner had 158 yards rushing in the game. Matthew Golden with 86. But Texas wins. Alabama and Oklahoma, were you expecting this? I wasn't. I thought Oklahoma might play, right? I mean, they'd come out and be fired up, and Alabama would hit a couple shots down the field, and it'd be over. Oklahoma dominated this game from start to finish, 24-3, and Bama had their chances to get back in it. Yes, I know about the ineligible receiver downfield deal with Ryan Williams, and Jalen Milroe had a terrible game. Give Venables and those guys some credit. You know, Milroe is not the traditional quarterback. He's a guy that's got to use the mobility game and have the run-pass option. They made him be a quarterback, and he struggled. Threw for 164 yards. And how about Jackson Arnold rushing for 131? So big win for Oklahoma. Ole Miss loses at Florida. We talked about that on the show. I told you guys I felt really confident about Florida covering. I wasn't sure they would win, but I thought they could. I think many of you felt the same way, too. I think there's that angsty Mississippi State fan that lives inside all of us. It's like, oh, yeah, I want Florida to play well, but Ole Miss is probably going to go in there and win by 20. But the way Florida's been playing and the way Ole Miss has been playing, there was no pressure on Florida. I mean, honestly, it's a home date, right? It's senior day. You got a ranked opponent coming in. You just beat LSU last week. You know, so you feel like, hey, we're kind of coming of age here. And now Scott Strickland looks like a genius. Some people a few weeks ago were like, Scott, you're an idiot. And I look at what Billy Napier in Florida has done since the vote of confidence from Scott Strickland. Back-to-back top 15 wins. Give it up for the Gators. Jackson Dart threw for 323 yards. Trey Harris goes down with a recurrence of the same injury that has plagued him all year. You hate that. But I suspect he has probably played his last down as an Ole Miss Rebel. Montrell Johnson runs for 107 yards for Florida. Caden Lee leads Ole Miss with 94 yards receiving. Had a couple guys go down too, and then Ole Miss loses a safety for the year. Yam went down with a non-contact injury. You hate that too. I mean, you hate any injury, but it's like when a guy's out there putting out effort, you know what I mean? It's like he's running and running, and then he pulls something or tears something. You just hate it. You know, football is a contact sport, so if something happens, you kind of learn to expect it, but man, when a guy's just running in the open field like that and all of a sudden grabs his knee, you always fear the worst. Non-contact injuries typically mean there's something seriously wrong. But, yeah, Ole Miss, you know, they say just, you know, no chance of the playoffs in some people's eyes. Other people say there's still a slim hope. Well, how great would it be if we could find a way to put things together and play a complete ball game and just put a bullet in their chances? I mean, how great would that be? And nobody's going to be playing for Ole Miss in that bowl game. I don't care which bowl game they make. They don't make the playoffs. They're not going to have a roster. They're going to have guys. It's going to be like LSU a couple years ago. Jackson Dart will probably play. We'll see. And I tell you, Jackson Dart's taking a lot of criticism. And listen, you know, decision-making-wise, he has made some mistakes. And I think in that fourth quarter, he tried to do too much. He throws the pick. They ruled that it wasn't an interception. That was the right call. The ball was loose. And he comes right back and throws another one. You know, at some point, you got to calm down. He's on the sidelines crying his eyes out. Hey, you got to go back out here. Oh, I got a second chance at redemption. And then I go do it again. And we'll go back and cry some more. But the kid's really talented. He is. And you can say what you want to. You know, I'm an Ole Miss despiser, but I recognize the fact that Jackson Dart's a dude. All right, UMass at Georgia, when about how we expected, Don Brown was fired, and the Minutemen put up 21 points against Georgia, but it's a 59-21 game. But UMass covers in the ball game, so that costs some people some money. UTEP at Tennessee, UTEP did not cover. They get beat 56-0. Nico back, Dylan Sampson back, you know, but they didn't play a full game. I mean, come on. Texas A&M at Auburn, what a great win for Auburn. I really thought A&M would go in there and get this thing done. I thought it'd be a close game. And then when A&M came all the way back, I think, well, it's over with now. Because how many times have you seen that from Auburn this year? They get the good start, and the next thing you know, in the second half, they surrender the lead. But Peyton Thorne, the much-maligned Peyton Thorne, made some big plays down the stretch for them. and they rush the field. And I'll be honest with you, Auburn fans, I think more of your program than maybe you do when you're rushing the field in that game. And the SEC's got to do something about it because it's become a big thing. Everybody wants to rush the field. I mean, we went to beat a ranked team. Let's rush the field. It doesn't really change. Auburn's not going to be bowl eligible. Wofford at South Carolina went about as you'd expect, 56-12. South Carolina, Lenore Sellers, 307 yards. Rocket Sanders runs for 72. Of course, you know the Missouri-Mississippi State game. And Arkansas takes care of business against Louisiana Tech, 35-14. You know, a late cover there, I guess. But Taylor Green, 221 yards. And again, what can you say? I mean, it's so interesting. Beginning of the year, Shane Beamer, Billy Napier, Sam Pittman all arrived on the hot seat. And now they're all going to postseason. Vanderbilt at LSU. Told you I thought it would be an entertaining game. LSU got a little separation. Vanderbilt came back late. Garrett Nussmeier with 332 yards. Kyron Lacy, 85 yards through the air. So, good game. And Vanderbilt, not what people thought they would be, for sure. Let's look at the standings real quick here. We know Georgia's in the SEC championship game. They'll play the winner of Texas, Texas A&M, which is always interesting. It's been forever and a day since those two have played. Won't it be fun to watch that game? I think so. That's the thing. It's a good thing about playing on Friday. We can enjoy college football Saturday. So Tennessee is not going to play in the SEC championship game. So kind of by virtue of the Lane Kiffin sentiment that it's really not new. You know, hey, it's a disadvantage if you play in a championship game. Yeah, that's what we said during the BCS too, that the SEC championship game would be an impediment to making the playoffs. And then we ushered in a decade of dominance and everybody put together a championship game. It's not a new school of thought, Lane. But anyway, Georgia will play the winner of Texas, Texas A&M. So Texas right now currently first in the conference. Georgia is second. Tennessee's third. So they, you know, they're right where they need to be. They'll play Vanderbilt this weekend. They need to win. But Tennessee could basically lock up their playoff with a win over Vanderbilt. A&M 5-2. South Carolina 5-3. In the conference, that is. Alabama 4-3. Did you have South Carolina ahead of Alabama at this point? And of course, South Carolina plays Clemson. They have a chance to sneak into the playoffs too. Crazy. They beat Clemson. They may. LSU 4-3 in the league. Then Missouri 4-3. Ole Miss 4-3. Florida Gators 4-4. They'll play Florida State this weekend. Arkansas is 3-4. They'll go to Missouri. We'll get that in a second. But you start thinking about, you know, bowl eligibility. Guys, you got, what is it, 13 teams that are bowl eligible right now? Oklahoma finds a way to get it done. Auburn could still do it if they win the Iron Bowl, which would make 14 teams. It's a new record. It's already a new record at 13. So Auburn, the only one that has a chance. Kentucky's going to finish 4-7. Of course, Mississippi State, you know, we're 2-9. We're not going anywhere either. Kentucky, 1-7. And they will take on Louisville this week in the rivalry game. But, it's so interesting to think about that. I mean, there were so many coaches on the hot seat leading in the year, and now they're going to be bowl eligible. I think it's really going to be a very, very quiet offseason in the SEC. Now, Arkansas, let's say if Arkansas loses this week and loses the bowl game. They finish 6-7. Is that going to be enough? I know they love Sam up there, but is that going to be enough? You know, we'll see. But they're playing better. You got to kind of call it for what it is. They are playing better football. Not great, but better. All right, take a quick look ahead at this weekend. Of course, Mississippi State and Ole Miss will play Friday at 2:30, and then Georgia Tech at Georgia at 6:30. That could be a dicier game than I think people realize. Georgia Tech's improved. You got to go to Athens. I don't know if they got the athletes to do it, but remember Georgia Tech, beginning of the year, beat Florida State. We didn't realize how bad Florida State was, but it was a big deal. So we get into Saturday, and we will be home on Saturday and kind of enjoying some college football. And we won't be emotionally invested in it because State and Ole Miss aren't playing. That'll be behind us. We can find a way to pull that upset. Man, how glorious would Saturday be? That's been on my weekend on the message board. Tennessee at Vanderbilt. It's going to be tough. Going into Nashville. 11 a.m., at least it's a decent drive there. South Carolina at Clemson, those are your 11 a.m. kicks, and Louisville and Kentucky. So a lot of good games early. Iron Bowl's at 2:30, then Arkansas, Missouri on the SEC Network at the same time. Florida at Florida State. Who knew that that would be a battle of unranked teams this late in the year? Oklahoma's at OSU. And after, Oklahoma may be feeling a bit better about themselves. Who knows what could happen in Baton Rouge? And then Texas at Texas A&M. That's the one you want to see on Saturday. So we'll preview that stuff on Friday. But, it's interesting stuff to kind of look at and kind of wonder, what the weekend could look like, what the league could look like after this weekend. And again, we're going to have a lot of teams in the postseason, and even though we won't be one of them, we'll get a nice check. We'll get arguably the biggest check we've ever gotten from the bowl revenue and not even have played in the bowl game. And how many years did we help other people out, right? I mean, that's the strength of being in a conference. It's very significant in that respect. But that's where things sit. So final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. My family and I will be staying there in a few weeks. Excited about that. Extremely excited about that. And so we'll have everybody under one roof. I got a lot of people coming this week to be home for Thanksgiving. Audrey's the only one who won't be here, but we'll have everybody when we get together to Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You need to kind of take ownership of that and be the champion in your family's life, and you plan something cool. You don't have to pay for all of it, but it's, hey, there's what we're thinking about. Let's go rent the Stark Vegas Clubhouse for a couple nights. We'll all pitch in together. We can cook, save money that way. We'll just go buy some groceries. Got the wet bar there, the full-service kitchen. Five, soon to be six bedrooms and two baths. That great back porch area. It's getting cooler at night. It'd be fun to sit outside around that fire and just sip back a cold one, right? Maybe that's your thing. Whether it be a cousin's weekend, a family weekend, a couple's weekend, or maybe just a chance to get the college roommates back together. We don't need you having a rager out there, but you're just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You only got one neighbor. And I tell you that because you're going to have peace and quiet. A lot of parking out there. Renovated country club, clubhouse from years ago. It's a really cool place to stay. Some friends of mine have stayed there. I can't wait to get out there and just spend a couple days. I'm not even do anything. I'm not at work at all, right? Just take a couple days to myself. I never do that, but we might just do that. Might just, shut it down for a couple days, let the mind rest a little bit, for sure. Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page is going to auto-populate along with some booking options. You can book through Airbnb or VRBO. It's up to you. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. I can save you a little money there. Use promo code BSR10. That's beautiful Steve Robertson. BSR and the number 10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. You could pay more, but why? Right? Maybe you've got it better than me. I don't know. But I don't like to give money away, neither should you. So book through the Evolve website. When you're looking for the coolest place to stay in the Golden Triangle, look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Okay, let's kind of go back over to recruiting weekend. And it's one of the reasons that I've had so much going on today is recapping the weekend and still got some commitments and told you guys we may have one, and we do. Came as an unofficial visitor. We knew things were close. I interviewed him today. He said he wasn't ready to put it out there. He was just going to wait and do it on signing day. He ultimately does put it out there, and that's Jabrius Stewart, safety from Mississippi Delta Community College. A great story there. Gave up on football, went to work out in Florida, ended up coming back, working at a poultry plant. Grew up in Crystal Springs, Mississippi, gets recruited out of the poultry plant to give football another try. Now he's headed to the Southeastern Conference. Yeah, he had committed to FIU. And has now flipped. And I'm told that the family is just so incredibly excited about this. And Crystal Springs has been good to Mississippi State over the years. And it's good to see Mississippi State, getting some in-state kids. And listen, I know some of you are kind of concerned about us going JUCO heavy right now. These JUCO guys are not being signed in place of portal players. They're being basically signed to replace guys that have left us in the portal or guys that haven't panned out. They're not being signed in place of portal guys. We're still going to sign about 20 in the portal. But we got to get some depth. If you guys have seen us play this year, you understand we don't have much in the way of depth. And so we're going to have to go out here and make some things happen. So let's kind of go over the dozen visitors. I'm sure you guys have kept up. We make all the commitment stories free, too. don't know if you knew that, but we do. We make all the commitment stories free. We used to not do that, but we allow everybody to celebrate together. Javen Williams, your first transfer, he's a grad guy, so he's able to go ahead and visit and commit. He took an official visit, committed to Mississippi State. He is a very talented cornerback out of Kennesaw State. He's a little bit undersized coming out of high school. He has kind of blossomed in a college weight room. Actually camped at Mississippi State when he was at Baker High School down in Mobile, Alabama, coming out of high school. And was a guy that kind of turned our head a little bit. We even took some time to talk to him, get his information, set up a profile page. But he ends up at Kennesaw State, and he has now an opportunity to go to the Southeastern Conference. But again, this is a guy that, you know, we're signing him for depth and competition. And we got to get bigger as a football team. We got to get bigger and stronger football players, no matter where they come from. And the thing that I ask you is, I mean, how many freshman football players from high school are going to make you a better team next year? Now, we got a bunch of guys committed, but a lot of those guys are not going to be able to come in there and just kind of turn a program around. You're going to need some bigger physical guys that have been in something beyond a high school strength and conditioning program. That's just kind of the reality of life. So we're signing, you know, some high school kids, we're signing some JUCO guys, and we're going to sign a bunch of guys in the portal. But every time that we have a JUCO commitment, we don't need the audible groan, okay? We don't need that. We're going to use every resource available to Mississippi State. And again, we're going to be very bullish in the portal. We're doing what we have to do and using all the resources that are available to us to flip this roster. And that includes some JUCO guys. It's true. All right, Tony Mitchell, Mississippi State commitment, is still locked in. Talked to him today. And nothing's changed with him. He said, I'm just going to kind of coast on into signing day, and then I'll be at Mississippi State in January. He's just kind of ready to get it over signing day. The December signing period begins next Wednesday. That's December the 4th. And Mitchell says he's good to go. Anson Lewis, wide receiver, originally from Columbia, Mississippi, now in Oak Grove, also visited this weekend. Yeah, this is a guy, too, that had been wanting to commit to Mississippi State for some time. After the Caleb Cunningham thing kind of, you know, went the way that it did, we decided to go ahead and go on Anson Lewis, but he is a guy that has been on our radar from the start of this process. It's incredible to me how his ranking has dropped this year around the industry. In the beginning, everybody was like, hey, this is the best receiver in the state, not named Caleb Cunningham. But as this thing has gone on, you know, and maybe he hadn't had the senior year that we thought. But the reality of it is, I don't think a lot of people have seen the kid play. But big physical guy, good catch ready. It's about 6'1". Pick up a commitment over the weekend, too, of Spencer Dowland out of Athens, Alabama. And if you kept up with us on Gene's page last week, we kind of told you, this is a possibility, told you he was visiting. I think we broke that news before to anybody, and told everybody he was supposed to visit Mississippi State the weekend Auburn's hosting Texas A&M. And so you think, well, things aren't going to work out with Auburn. Well, that very night he decommits from Auburn. And there were a lot of people on the Ole Miss side of things who were saying, hey, it's going to boil down to State or Ole Miss, which is what I was hearing too. Now that he's picked State, the Ole Miss people were like, well, we decided not to go on him. That's typically how it goes. And one of the things you may find interesting, too, is just about every junior college player State has committed has an offer from Ole Miss. All right, Tywin Coleman, originally from Terry, Mississippi, is at Northwest Mississippi Community College. He was originally scheduled to visit Florida State this weekend. We convinced him to change that. He visited here. He is still going to visit Florida State. Going to take a couple visits and then make his decision closer to signing day. I still expect that to be Mississippi State. My crystal ball pick is in favor of the Bulldogs. 6'4", 285, again, a big body guy. Guys, we can't keep signing these 6-foot high school linemen. We can't. We can't keep doing that. That's kind of what's got us in the situation that we're in. Spoke with Max Redmond earlier. He is a safety out of West Palm Beach, Florida, by way of Cardinal Newman High School. Currently committed to Florida State as the rains come down. And Max says, you know, I'm still kind of figuring some things out. If I had to call it today, I think he may stick with Florida State. I don't feel like he's a candidate to flip right now, but State will stay on him. He did have a good visit to State. It was a shorter visit. He only stayed the one night. But was impressed with the fact that, you know, Mississippi State showed him a lot of attention. And a lot of the coaching staff were very, very involved with his visit. Odera Okaka, an edge rusher from College of San Mateo, he's listed 6'4", 240. He's actually a little bit smaller than that. I think he will probably end up going to Cal when it's all said and done. He grew up just down the road from Cal, I think about 40 minutes away. And I just don't know if that's a guy you go all in on. We got to get war daddies on that defensive front. I think you guys know it the same way that I do. Mason Clinton spoke with him today, too. Mason Clinton, Mississippi State commitment about 2 weeks ago. He's ready to go, too. He's 6'5", 290. I saw him play earlier this year against Itawamba. And I had a guy on the staff at East Mississippi at Media Day tell me that he was their best defensive lineman, most consistent guy. And I said, even more than Zay? And he goes, yeah, even more than Zay. He's a consistent guy. He's a bounce back from UL Lafayette by way of Scuba Tech. And again, a depth guy. We expect him to come in here and be a two deeper and be a guy in a rotation. Since he committed to Mississippi State, he's heard from a couple other Power Four schools, including Florida State. All right, Saquon Miles, another guy. So interesting. He decommits from Troy because he's taking visits and also had Florida State on him and Georgia. He was supposed to visit those schools. They canceled those visits. He was supposed to visit Ole Miss this weekend. That's not going to happen. That was the big talk, is that he was going to visit State this weekend, Ole Miss next weekend. As it stands today, that visit's off. Now, one could say he could go and watch us play, but I would venture to say he can watch a game at home on TV too. And so Saquon Miles, the number one rated junior college offensive tackle in the country, 6'6", 300 pounds, from over there in Alabama, and will now get a chance to play SEC football reasonably close to home. That's a big part of it. Said his family had a great visit, and he was eager to put it out there and kind of let everybody know what he was planning to do. Now, Eric Hazard is an edge that is up for a Mr. Football Award in Tennessee. Pretty significant, right? The son of a former Bulldog player who got injured. He lettered 1 year under Jackie Sherrill, I believe, in 93, and got injured. And couldn't finish out his playing career, but they are very much a Mississippi State family. Mom and dad both went to State, and now Mississippi State offered him a scholarship. There was some discussion. Some people were, you know, putting things out there before it was ready to go. You know, it's like there's so many moving parts to all this. You got to be careful what you do and say. Eric Hazard is graduating in December. If he chooses Mississippi State, he can enroll in January and take part in spring practice. And anybody that supported anything different than that is uninformed, okay? And it's irresponsible. It really is. But Eric Hazard, if I had to call it today, I'd call him a Mississippi State lean. All right, Amarion Jefferson. I really like this kid. Didn't know a lot about him. Got a phone call. Somebody said, hey, you need to kind of get up to speed on this guy. This guy can really play. And he's visiting Mississippi State this weekend. I'm like, oh, okay. Come to find out, we've got some friends in common. So I made some calls. Found out what kind of person he is. Found out what kind of player he is. I go watch the tape, and he just kind of glides out there. Really good player. I think it's just a matter of time before Amarion Johnson joins the class. He has 19 offers, including one from Mississippi State that he picked up this weekend. And I think it's just simply a matter of time now before he's a Bulldog. You know, I think that's, you know, could happen at any moment now. Any moment. So don't be surprised. And again, 19 offers. You know, we're the biggest one. Don't get me wrong. But he is a guy that's in demand. And I think when there's a guy like that that's got about 20 offers in your home state and you've got a position of need, you got to make a move. And we did. All right, Braden Turnage. We talked about him a little bit in our visit preview. He's a guy that's played 1 year high school football. 6'8", 285-pounder. Lettered in baseball, basketball, and football. A lot of people thought that baseball may be his path to college. And I don't think that's going to be the case. But if you go check him out, you know, Chris Simonis and Jake Gautreaux and those guys have been in contact with him. And so that's where things sit right now. I think Braden Turnage ends up being a Bulldog. And so looking back at the weekend, you know, taking out the fact we already had a couple guys committed, right? So you pick up, we had Tony Anson and Mason Clinton already committed. You pick up Spencer Dolan. You pick up Mason Clinton. Excuse me, you pick up Saquon Miles. and you pick up, you know, the transfer, Javen. And now I think you're on the verge of getting Omarion, Braden, and Eric Hazard. So your batting average is going to prove to be pretty good here. I think eventually you get Tywan Coleman too. So of those dozen visitors, when it's all said and done, I think 11 of those 12 are going to be Bulldogs. Really good batting average for Mississippi State. And I don't know if you guys read too, like Steve Miller, former Mississippi State commitment, not he of the jet airliner, not he of the take the money and run. You know, flipped from us to USC, and now he's going to visit South Carolina. And so it's one of those things you begin to think about too. You know, we may have lost him to South Carolina anyway. You know, and so it's like you've got to move on. And I'll be honest with you, I think he's a good player. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's USC great. It's my feel, and it's not sour grapes. I thought that from the beginning. Wasn't sure what he was going to be. But, you know, you keep up with guys and you begin to kind of wonder. You know, it's like when you see things unfold and guys get offers late and take late visits, you begin to wonder, would that have happened to us? But again, a dozen visitors, and I think in the end, we're going to get 10 of the 12. 10 of the 12. That's how I feel today. I don't think we'll take Okaka, and I think Redmond will probably stick with Florida State. And I think in the end, you get everybody else. I think you flip Braden Turnage from Memphis. You flip Eric Hazard from Louisville. And then you add Omarion Jefferson and Tywan Coleman. And I think, again, you're going to look back and say, you know what, these official visits were very good to Mississippi State. And what that tells me is the people of Mississippi State are doing a good job on these visits, hosting these guys and their families and kind of letting them know. And so we'll have some more official visitors this weekend. Won't be a big group. You know, we got to begin to kind of save some visits for, you know, portals. And there's a limit, but you begin to kind of think about the resources of it all, too. And, you know, I think, you know, we kind of know where we're headed now. And so we'll push ahead with that and kind of get excited about what's to come in the portal season. But right now the focus is on everything that needs to happen between now and December 4th. And, of course, you're already doing your due diligence and things of that nature. You're kind of preparing for guys that are going to go in the portal. And, you know, I still expect a couple of adjustments to the high school class for Mississippi State. And so if you see a couple of decommitments, it's not worth panicking over. Now, Laquavion Jackson's one I feel completely different about. If we lose him to Louisville, that'll be a loss. I really think Lojack can really, really play. And we got to work hard to keep him. But don't be surprised if you see a couple of adjustments, at least one, between now and signing day. And that doesn't mean it hasn't already been communicated to players and things like that. When a guy decommits, we typically just let them break that news themselves. You know, we don't want to go out there. It's just one of those things that we do, right? Even if I feel confident about it, something that sensitive, we're going to let the young man handle that himself. We do the same thing on commitments. Unless a kid tells us it's okay to put it out there, we let the kid announce on social media. You know, years ago, we used to go to the press conferences, and then we would break it from the press conference. And, of course, there were some people, you know, social media allowed some lazy people to really be lazy and just kind of sit in a recliner, call themselves experts, you know. But nobody has a big press conference anymore. It's rare they do that. Used to, everybody did it. I went to Errol Thompson's press conference over in Florence, Alabama, you know. I remember those things. And, of course, we had video and pictures and the family and all that kind of stuff. And I think it means a lot to those kids when you show up. I know it means a lot to them when you go watch them play. I've been to four states this year to watch Mississippi State commitments play, and you add in what Rion's done. I think when it's all said and done, it was nine states this year that we watched Mississippi State targets play football. It's important to us because we want to have credibility in what we say. When we say this guy's a real player, we want to be able to say, you know what, he is. You know, as Rion says, he's a guy. This is a guy. Yeah. It's part of it. Hey, if you hadn't done so, come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Buy one, get one free on the floats. You've been thinking, I'd like to try it, but I don't want to do it alone. Well, you're going to float alone, but you can still enjoy the experience and have a friend or a spouse or a date come with you. Make it a date night special. We've already opened up the Black Friday special. And you can dial 662-268-7601. And if you're looking for a unique Christmas gift, right, because I'm the kind of person, I'd rather do things and have things. Because ultimately, as Fight Club taught us, you know, the things you own end up owning you, right? It's so true. I probably need to streamline some stuff around here, but I'm not getting rid of my Mississippi State memorabilia. But come float with us. We're about to close another NIL deal with another Mississippi State female athlete. But floating is not just for ladies. We have a lot of gentlemen that come too. We've got a lot of guys on faculty, names you know, professors and people that you know that have found something in floating. I think you could too. Whether you've got anxiety in your life or chronic pain, we may be able to help you. You know, make no guarantees, but I tell you this, we have a lot of satisfied customers. It's just like delivering flowers. Like, everybody leaves happy. It's a great thing. They leave happy. It's a good experience. And again, one of the things I encourage people is just come in and get relaxed. You know, just kind of, okay, I'm just going to chill. Let your neck and shoulders kind of relax. Because, you know, when you lay in water, your natural instinct is to tense up. So the sooner you can relax your neck and shoulders, the sooner you'll kind of drift into a state of bliss in many respects. So come check us out, True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Again, 662-268-7601. You can call and buy your BOGO right over the phone and visit us on all of our social medias. You know, we're on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. But you know, the wife's running the show down there. You know, we didn't just buy a business and go hire some college kids to run it for us. I mean, this is a mom-and-pop operation. I was down there today at like 3 o'clock and wrote some stories from the spot to kind of help her out a little bit. But, yeah, we're a mom-and-pop operation. There's not some big corporate headquarters that's bankrolling anything for us. We basically pushed all our chips in the middle to try to make this a better place. And Dana, being a person of wellness, wanted to stay in health and wellness, even though she was leaving the nursing profession, and has found, you know, a great relationship, you know, with our clients just because of the fact so many people come in and they're kind of at their wits' end. They're like, you know what, Steve, I can never relax, or I've got this chronic pain here, and you know, nothing works for me. And we've had several people that have come in that they've found this has been one of the best things they've ever had. And so it may work for you. So we encourage you to come be a part of that. So again, Jeans Page running a big special, 75% off starting tonight. And come be with us at Jeans Page. You'll be happy you did. And with the portal opening on the 9th, you know, we're going to be kind of keeping up with that wide open as we go. And there will be official visits. It opens the 9th, and the next thing you know, it's like 3 weeks later, we're getting ready to enroll for classes. So it's going to move at kind of warp speed. And the good thing is that, you know, your high school and junior college guys will sign next week. So you don't have to kind of continue to recruit 70 kids, right? You're recruiting your commitments to stay with you. And once they sign, you don't have to worry about that anymore. You just kind of move ahead with all this stuff. But yeah, the world is changing in college athletics, and not all the changes are good. But one thing it's not changing is our commitment to give you the best coverage possible over at jeanspage.com. That's why we travel as extensively as we do. We want to be authentic and be the genuine article in everything that we do. And so when we tell you something, it has credibility because we have seen ourselves what guys look like and how ball games went. You know, it'd be easy to just sit on the couch and cover a game and write a blog post, but I can't ask Jeff Lebby a question from home. You know, I can't ask Michael Van Buren a question from home. I can't tell you and I can't paint the scene from home. I can't tell you what it's like and where to eat and those kind of things from home. You got to get out and experience life. And one of the things that was so important to me when I first got in this industry, I just wanted to be the real deal. You know, I didn't want to be one of these guys that, you know, just sat home. That's just, you know, to each their own. But it's important to me that we get out and go see things happen so we can report to you with our own eyes and ears. So come be a part of that. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.